New Greek elections look more likely. So does a Greek exit from the euro.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
From APM in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The political parties are still trying to form a new government in Greece more than a week after the elections there left a split decision. And the prospect of a new round of elections is also boosting the chances of a Greek exit from the euro. For more, let's go live to Marketplace's Stephen Beard at our European desk in London. Stephen, what is going on in Athens?
Still a stalemate. And the key problem is that Syriza, the left-wing group that came second in last week's election, is opposed to the austerity measures that were agreed in return for the last bailout. And Syriza refuses to form a government with the pro-bailout parties. So that means, as you say, we could see another election next month. And Syriza looks as if it might then get even more votes.
And Syriza is against bailouts. It's against austerity. So if Syriza wins the next round of elections, I assume that's not going to be great news for the future of the euro or Greece's role in it.
No, because Syriza wants to renegotiate the terms of the bailout. That would be in defiance of the European Commission, the European Central Bank and the Germans, and that would make Greece's role in the eurozone untenable, as independent economist Peter Westaway told the BBC.
I think the idea that they're going to be able to seriously renegotiate those terms and stay within the monetary union is slightly fanciful. There's a real possibility that they will have to leave the monetary union.
And Stephen, that's something we're hearing more and more of, and I wonder, is anyone planning for that possibility?
Well, in fact, there's a leaked document from the German finance ministry which purports to show that Germany is preparing for a Greek exit. Now, this leak may be a ploy to put pressure on the Greeks, but it would be, in this climate, extraordinary if governments and companies were not preparing for Greece to leave the euro.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
Well, now to New York, where the TV networks are unveiling their fall schedules to advertisers this week at an event called The Upfronts. As Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports, some of the biggest suspense isn't about what shows will be on, but when.
The upfronts are about selling ads, sure, but they're also a chance for the networks to reveal the lineup, which shows are in, on their way in, and out.
These are like game time decisions, to coin a sports phrase.
Brad Adgate is an analyst at Horizon Media. Scheduling the network's lineup, he says, is tricky. You want your hit comedy leading into your new comedy, and you don't want your police procedural going up against CSI.
It's almost like putting together a jigsaw puzzle.
DVRs and on-demand are changing how these pieces fit together, but they still matter. Joe Adalian from Vulture.com calls TV scheduling a scientific art.
Those of us who cover TV like to think of it more of as an art, because we like to think of these brave scheduling jockeys who are, you know, trusting their gut and working on instinct.
But he says there's a whole lot of research that goes on behind the scenes with input from the network's sales department. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly lower in global trading this morning, down more than 2% in Frankfurt and Paris right now. Yahoo's CEO Scott Thompson resigned over the weekend, becoming the fourth CEO to leave the post in 5 years. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow lost 34 points to close at 12,820.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
Plans to build hundreds of new wind turbines here in California are being held up by a lawsuit from environmentalists. The worry is that the wind farms could harm the already endangered California condor, which likes windy places. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sarah Gardner reports.
We all know that wind turbines kill birds, but if a California condor has a fatal attraction to one of those gigantic turbines, expect front page headlines.
Sure, it's a concern, and we take it very seriously.
Nancy Rader speaks for wind companies that do business in California. She says they're doing everything they can to avoid killing North America's largest land bird. And it's not just because the condor is an endangered species with a freakishly long wingspan. This bald-headed, weak-toed vulture also has a lot of friends. And they're watching the condor like a hawk.
Every bird in the wild have transmitters on them. either on the tail feathers or on the wings.
Vince Gurwey is just one in an army of volunteers, wildlife biologists, birders, and zookeepers obsessed with saving these ugly birds from extinction. Gurwey alone spends hundreds of hours a year tracking their movements and their nesting places in Southern California.
Last year, I drove 3,000 or 4,000 miles, and...
And you're paying for your own gas, I take it.
Yes, ma'am. I sure am.
Gurwey says the government's even put solar-powered GPS devices on some of the birds at $3,000 a pop. There are now about 400 condors in the western U.S., but half of them are still in protective breeding programs. And people like Kim Delfino at Defenders of Wildlife aren't about to let renewable energy ruin the condor's fragile success story, even if wind power is green.
We want to see wind prevail, but we also want to see it done smartly.
Industry insists wind turbines are a small and theoretical threat to the condor, but wind operators theoretically could face jail time under the Endangered Species Act if a turbine kills one of these bald-headed wonders. Industry is investigating ways to avoid a tragedy, including a costly solution, emerging radar technology that could temporarily shut down a wind turbine when the big birds fly too close for comfort. In Ventura, California, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And finally, Facebook is set to go public this week, which is going to create some overnight billionaires. One of them is Eduardo Saverin, who helped start the company. But Saverin will apparently avoid about $600 million in U.S. capital gains taxes on his new wealth because he moved to Singapore in 2009 and renounced his U.S. citizenship. His spokesman says Saverin found it more practical to become a resident of Singapore. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.